Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. We are talking with Chris Novak, President and CEO of CropLife America. Tell us a little bit about some of your priority issues right now and what you guys are working on at the moment. I know we've talked about or seen some press releases and things like that on regulation and that sort of thing. So what are the big ticket items at the moment?
Well, so CropLife America represents the manufacturers and distributors of pesticides here in the United States. So companies, names of companies that all of your farm customers would know and understand. But you know, our day job really is working to ensure that farmers do have the pesticide tools and technologies they need to be able to manage a productive crop. And we know that weed and pest problems aren't going away. They're not getting easier. So that we know that farmers need new tools. And one of our key jobs is working with the Environmental Protection Agency to ensure that those new products have a pathway to get through the agency in a reasonable period of time.
So what are some of the big issues right now? I remember just a couple weeks ago, EPA kind of preemptively or prematurely made some rulings and pulled some things back. Kind of dive into that a little bit.
Well, so I'll kind of back up to start with a couple of the overarching issues. I mean, the first is the pesticide registration process. And any pesticide that comes to market is going to be reviewed by the agency, and the agency needs to make a decision, you know, first affirming the safety of that pesticide product, but also then writing the rules that go on to the pesticide label that dictate or govern how a farmer can use that pesticide. That process relies upon our companies doing about 8 to 10 years worth of research to look at the impact, look at the safety from a human health standpoint, look at whether or not this pesticide may impact a non-target species, a plant or an animal that we're not trying to kill. And so they do all that research, they submit that information to the agency. Today, EPA is taking almost 4 years to review that pesticide application. Under the law, they're supposed to take 2. And the problem is for a lot of the minor crop farmers that you have in North Dakota, they're looking for, you know, those pesticide tools that fit the needs of their particular crops, whether it's sugar beets or canola, sunflower. EPA's delays are going to limit the opportunity for some of those new pesticide tools to make it to the market. So we're working with the agency to ensure that they have the funding that they need, to ensure that they're hiring the scientists who can review these pesticide applications in a more timely basis. That's issue one. Issue two is the Endangered Species Act. And under federal law, when the agency approves a new pesticide, it's supposed to consult with the Fish and Wildlife Service that's in the Department of Interior and the National Marine Fisheries Service. Getting 3 government agencies to work together and agree is not an easy task. And so farmers are going to start to see more regulations and restrictions with regards to the Endangered Species Act coming on a lot of chemistries that they're using, and we're working daily with the agency on those issues.
So let's talk a little bit about the impact that has then on producers and those that are processing products and things like that. It has a widespread effect.
Well, and coming back to the other part of your question, what we are seeing is that the agency is issuing restrictions on how and where an individual chemistry may be used. So when a pesticide is approved, it will generally be approved to say you can use it on these crops, during these parts of the growing season. But the agency also has a responsibility under the law to look at all new and available science. So if a chemistry was first approved in 2002 and we've got new scientific information, then the agency is supposed to take that into account. They're doing that now to ensure that they're in compliance with the endangered species, but they're also coming back and saying, we're going to ask farmers to help mitigate the impact of this particular pesticide on a threatened or endangered species. So they may be giving the farmers a pick list, a list of choices, and the farmer has to say, I'm going to reduce the volume of this pesticide, or I'm going to put in a buffer strip on my fields or a filter strip. I'm going to take these additional steps to ensure that I don't harm any threatened or endangered species. For farmers, I know that's frustrating. I've had many conversations with them. But at the end of the day, if we want to ensure that these tools are available, then we do have to make sure that we're complying with the federal laws. Because what has happened is environmental activists have sued EPA, and we've seen in one case a court that said EPA didn't comply with the Endangered Species Act, so we're going to remove the approval or take away this particular pesticide. That's the last thing that we want to happen. It's the last thing that farmers want to happen, which is why we're working together to make sure that farmers do continue to have access to these tools.
All right. Anything else that we should add before we let you go?
We certainly are touting what, you know, the role of pesticides in not only sustainability, but also climate smart agriculture. And, you know, for North Dakota farmers, you know, Minnesota farmers, certainly weather is changing. Maybe some warmer temperatures. Maybe, you know, the winter wasn't as cold. That's going to bring new pest and weed challenges, you know, to the northern states that they haven't experienced before. We think we've got a great story to tell in terms of how pesticides have helped farmers adopt conservation tillage, no-till practices. We know that that's improved environmental quality. We also know that as we're looking at how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, that there's great opportunities for the use of pesticides there as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Again, Crop Life America CEO Chris Novak joining us on the Red River Farm Network. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Whitney Pittman.